Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
This interview is sponsored by a new and standout destination in Starkville, Mississippi, Alora Modern Wellness. Founded by longtime healthcare professionals Rich and Lisa Lopez, Alora blends advanced technology with personalized care to help you feel your best. Whether it's whole body cryotherapy to reduce inflammation, an infrared sauna to detox and relax, LED light therapy to recharge at the cellular level, or assisted stretching to improve mobility, Alora has something for everybody. Their mission to provide science-backed wellness in a calm, welcoming space. Whether you're recovering from a tough workout, managing stress, or just investing in your long-term health, Alora is your modern approach to feeling better mind, body, and soul. Stop by 821 C Highway 12 right across from Kroger or explore more at aloramodernwellness.com.
You know, we have some people on the show enough that they become our guy for the other team, right? I have an Ole Miss guy. I have a Tennessee guy. David Nuno has become my Texas A&M guy. That's a big honor, David. I'm proud of you.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity. I love talking Aggie football, and I don't know how I feel about when A&M plays Mississippi State, because you look at recent history. Well, you know, last year went in A&M's favor, but like it's been a tough place to play. You know, it's tough, man.
And State's had some success at College Station as well. So, yeah, I think this is going to be a very interesting matchup, a much improved Mississippi State team. And I would say, you know, through five games, a much improved Texas A&M team from a season ago. They look more complete. They look more explosive. This team has to be outperforming some of, I know you had high expectations for them, but they have to be outperforming even that, don't you think?
Yes, but I also think people forget this team was a win away from being in Atlanta last year.
They were. And
when you have quarterback changes every year since 21, right? 21, you had, what, two quarterbacks play? 22, you had three. Last year, I mean, every year there's been a quarterback injury or a quarterback controversy. Last year, Connor Wigman isn't right when the season starts. Marcel comes in, does a great job. Connor comes back, plays great against Missouri, isn't right. Like, and then you lose your best offensive player in Le'Veon Moss. It is hard to have consistency, right? And in this modern era of college football, with the transfer portal, with so many changes, like, you just, who can stay the healthiest? Who's got the depth? And last year, I think A&M, you know, there were some self-inflicted wounds, no doubt, right? The Auburn game should have never happened, regardless if last year's Auburn game should have not happened, regardless if Le'Veon's there or not. But when you lose that many players, it is hard to be consistent. But you are correct. This defense looks better this year. Mm-hmm. This offense can be explosive and also go back to the old school ground and pound like we saw a couple nights ago against Auburn, or a couple days ago against Auburn. So, yeah, they're better, but the SEC's better. Mm-hmm. Like, Mississippi State's supposed to be an easy game for A&M. Supposed to be. Yeah. It's not, right? Mississippi State's a real team. They are legit. And I figured Jeff Lebby would figure it out, but it seems like he's figured it out a little bit earlier than I was hoping.
So when we look at this A&M team, obviously the return of Le'Veon Moss, huge. You know, that was really what derailed A&M a season ago, in my opinion. The additions of Mario Craver and KC Concepcion, huge additions. In some ways, you know, you had a certain A&M team in the first half of last season. Then you had a different team in the second half. And now you have another different team. And Moss is almost an addition at this point. But Craver and Concepcion, again, it feels like they've outperformed what even the highest expectations of them could have been.
Yeah, I guess it depends on who you ask. Willie Lucci, our executive editor, co-owner, he kind of expected this. I don't know if anybody could have expected 200 yards from Mario Craver a couple games ago against Notre Dame. But, like, there were plays to be made last year. A&M just didn't have the explosive receivers. They had really nice receivers, but they just couldn't, you know, break away. They couldn't get separation. These guys get separation. And the beauty is, you know, kind of like some other really good teams over the last few years. All right, let's say you want to put two people on Craver. That's fine. By the way, there's Casey Concepcion. All right, you're going to do everything you can. You're going to stay in high. Okay, no problem. Terry Bussey can go in the backfield. He can also split out back wide. Oh, you're going to try to stop us on the run? All right, we're going to throw a little screen pass on a bubble screen and see what Mario Craver can do. And you all know the potential that was there for Mario, right? You saw it, and he did it against Texas. He did it against Texas A&M last year when he played for Mississippi State. There are some explosive players here, and I also think culture goes a long way. It takes a couple years, as Jeff Levy's learning, to get your team to play your style of football. It doesn't mean you don't feel some of it in year one, but it sometimes takes at least a full second season to get there. And I don't know what the finished product is going to be for A&M this year, but it feels through four games that if you make as many mistakes as A&M did against Auburn and you play a shootout against Notre Dame and you find a way to win and you're getting better, that becomes scary for the rest of the SEC. But the rest of the SEC is pretty darn deep anyway.
And you mentioned, you know, those two wins, a great win at Notre Dame. Not everybody can go to South Bend and get a win. To play a different kind of game, you know, they've been really explosive offensively in those first three games, and then they had to play a defensive game. I think that's a great sign for Texas A&M. Mentally is where sometimes this team has fallen short sometimes, right? You would say that, you know, I hate to say the BAS. I know there was an article about it the other day on three, and it seems like this team mentally is stronger than previous Texas A&M squads. Do you see that?
I hope so. It feels that way, but I felt that way last year, right? Yeah. Like, look, this fan base just expects bad things to happen, and that's not just this fan base. I have the good fortune of working in Houston most of my career, and I grew up in Houston. In football, we just expect leads to go away from the Buffalo Bills and Oilers to the Kansas City Chiefs and the Texans a couple years ago, right? You kind of expect these things until you break through. The Astros were a team like that. They get to the World Series and get swept by the White Sox in 2005. You kind of expect these things to happen until they don't, and then the Astros broke through. The Rockets broke through in the mid-90s. A&M, look, it's a win. Not if, it's a win. This team is going to figure it out. Just like I've expected Texas to figure things out. When you have the resources, when you have the talent in this state, when you have the ability to recruit outside of the state, when all those things, you just got to get the right guy in the head coaching spot. And I loved Kevin Sumlin, and I actually think Jimbo should have worked. I do. And I think Jimbo, I wonder how different we would look at him if in 2020 they got into the playoffs. He would have probably still gotten fired because Appalachian State happened and, you know, they just weren't. But in college football, changed. But we'd probably look at his time at A&M differently. I think Coach Elko's the right guy because he is, first off, one of the smartest people I know. He's legit brilliant. He's a football guy, right? He's a ball guy. And, you know, you got to get lucky. You got to win these tight games. All these SEC games come to a play or two. And can you have the mental the mental capacity to overcome these mistakes? A&M almost had a dreadful mistake in that game against Auburn that could have cost them that game. You know, a near pick six, which turned into a touchdown. Like, that's fine. They didn't flinch. The defense went out there and did what they had to do. So, yeah, I think they're mentally better, but you're only mentally better as long as you're healthy.
Mississippi State is a team that sort of thrives on the big play. They are a big play offense. They struggle sometimes keeping drives going when they don't get the big play. Texas A&M, when I've watched them a little bit defensively, the Notre Dame game feels like a little bit of an outlier, that they were unable to stop the Irish, but they were really, really good. I mean, one of the best A&M defensive performances we've seen in quite some time last weekend. What is that matchup like in your eyes? State's big play offense versus this A&M defense that has the look of an old school Aggie defense.
Well, I'm glad you brought up Notre Dame because, look, the score is not indicative of necessarily how the defense played in that game. The defense has some issues.
Right.
But when Jeremiah Love, who was just torching the world, doesn't do what we're used to seeing, I'm trying to find his stats here. He had 23 carries, 94 yards.
94 yards, yeah.
And, look, those are nice numbers. I'm not saying they're not, but, like, they – and he had two or three, like, really big runs, as did Jadarian Price, right? So what happens is those big plays have plagued A&M the last couple of years. Last year, for sure, in the first part of this year. In the Auburn game, you didn't see explosive plays. You saw one explosive play in the entire game.
Right.
So I think they have figured out some of the – and by the way, there was a huge explosive play in the first game of the season against UTSA. Mm-hmm. It made the game a little tighter than it felt like it needed to be. Robert Henry Jr. ran for the longest touchdown of the season. It was ridiculous, whatever, 75 yards. And after that, A&M's defense has just stopped everybody. So and I know the score in Notre Dame was a lot higher. It was really more 33 points because they had a punt block.
Right.
But I just think they're getting better. And if you look at the Auburn game, Auburn receivers are legit.
They're good.
Yeah, they are. I mean, Cam Coleman is one of the best receivers in football. Mm-hmm. Cam Coleman is great, but Jackson Arnold is struggling. And I think that is – A&M was able to frustrate him enough and get in the backfield enough to make him kind of hold on to the ball too long, throw some passes he didn't want to throw. So all that to be said is, as long as A&M can neutralize the big plays, They're going to win a lot of football games, but their issue last year and sometimes this year has been giving up the big play.
I feel like, you know, with State and Tennessee last week, I came into the game, I was like, this is going to be a haymaker game. You're going to see a lot of big plays, and we did. We saw it on both sides of the ball. I don't see that as much this week, but I think they're, especially with Craver and Concepcion, State with Thompson and Evans, those are big play receivers, so I think we're going to see some of that. Marcel Reed has been really good this year, just as steady as can be. I feel like sometimes now with the transfer portal, we forget that players get better a year to year when they stay in the same system, and that's what Marcel Reed has done this year. Blake Shapen has been good this year. He hasn't been great. He's had some ups and downs. Is it going to just come down to which quarterback plays better? Because I think that's what happened last week with State, that Aguilar just played better than Shapen. Can we boil it down to that, do you think?
Well, I'm glad you asked me this because I'm going to give you a long answer. I'm not going to answer the question just yet, okay?
Okay, go ahead.
I think Marcel Reed was really good last year.
Yeah.
I think he was really good last year. He was as good as DJ Lagway last year. Lagway struggled this year.
We talked about this in media days, didn't you?
And I just want to make sure people understand this. The defense let him down last year, and I love the defense this year. But last year, the defense couldn't stop teams at the end of games. The end of the USC game, like USC was able to move down the field. Beyond the USC game, the Auburn game, they couldn't stop them in the last possession before overtime, and then and obviously in overtime. So what I'm saying is, if those games were reversed and you gave them W's, then you look at A&M, which I know you can't do, but the same exact stats for Marcel Reed, the exact same stats, then you'd be talking about Marcel Reed differently heading into this season. They have fixed the defense. Marcel Reed has taken a step forward. So, yeah, I think he's better. He's still got to get better on the long ball, right? And there's been a 2-3 touchdown this year that if he can just put a little bit more loft on that ball, I think you're talking about 21 extra points divvied up between three games, seven each game, right? He's missed three of those long balls. But the quick release, the quick thoughts, the chemistry he's got with Casey and Mario, that to me has been impressive. Look, I like that young man a lot. I think he's a leader. And we haven't even seen him use his legs yet. Like he uses his legs a little bit against Notre Dame, but for the most part, they've kept him in the pocket, and he hasn't had to use his legs just yet.
So one thing we always do on the podcast when we're previewing the game is we pick an X-factor player, a guy. I don't want you to say Mario Craver or Le'Veon Moss or Marcel Reed. Give me a player for Texas A&M on Saturday that maybe they don't have huge stats, but they could make one play that changes this game.
Okay. I'll give you two. I'll give you one on each side of the ball. Is that all right?
Yeah.
All right. I'm waiting for it, but I feel like Terry Bussey is due, really due. Okay. Terry Bussey is a guy that 2 years ago came in five-star, played at a small school, came in as a wide receiver. Came in as a defensive back. They moved him to the wide receiver, kind of learned the position. He's a jack of all trades, can be in the backfield, can split out wide. If you double Mario and you put a lot of pressure on KC, I think Terry Bussey is going to fight. And Ashley Bethel-Roman too, but I'm doing a Billy Lucci, giving you 12 names, but I'm going to boil it right back down to Bussey. I think offensively, watch out for Terry Bussey. Defensively, this is not going to be, you know, breaking news for anybody who watches A&M this year, but Des Ricks. Mm-hmm. The guy has been freaking phenomenal. Lockdown corner, he was an issue at the end of last year, okay? He was a redshirt freshman. He had transferred from Alabama, five-star, all the tools in the world. But teams were picking on him as he started the breakdown. Coach Elko spoke about him yesterday, just like he got tired. Like he played a lot more football than they expected because of depth. Because of that, I think teams took advantage of him. There's no taking advantage of him right now. You're not throwing to his side of the field. Will Lee was so much ahead of him last year. This year, I don't know who the better cornerback is. Like, I legit feel so good about both of those guys. So I'm going to say an X factor defensively is Des Ricks.
All right. It's blackout, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Johnny Cash.
What State's going to do to counter, because, you know, they State had a whiteout last week, so we'll see who – I told you that back in the when we had you on during the summer, I was like, I think this should be the Maroon Bowl. Like, the winner gets to stay on with Maroon, but we'll see how it goes. All right. David Nuno, Texags Radio. Appreciate your time, man. We'll talk to you again soon.
Brian, I appreciate it, buddy. Talk to you soon.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.